This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Now, so far today, we've had the latest PPI numbers, the Producer Price Index, which is much higher than was forecast.
Yes, that's right. PPI this morning did come in much higher than expected. Inflation in the United States continues to be on the rise, but more noticeably here today than even what the Consumer Price Index earlier this week provided to us. We saw the Consumer Price Index tick a little bit higher by 0.1% year over year more than expected, but much greater when it comes to the Producer Price Index. Now, reminder to the listeners that the Producer Price Index is further up the chain, right? This is going to be wholesale prices. This is, you know, up the supply chain rather than, for example, the consumer price index, which is what consumers see and feel. The producer price index is a little bit more up the chain and often does make its way through the kind of system, the supply chain, to what consumers ultimately feel. So it can be a very useful indicator. And this morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, we did get the producer price index year over year come in at 6% versus 4.9% expected. That is a pretty substantial jump. And previously, this was at 4.3%. So producer price index definitely seeing a big jump today. And also, more interestingly in some ways, is actually, if you strip out food and energy and take a look at core PPI, this morning came in at 5.2% versus 4.3% expected. We also saw some revisions higher to the previous number, which, by the way, the previous number, just off the top of my head, was a sigh of relief last time around. The producer price index year over year was at 4%. It jumped today. The revision was higher to 4.3%. So too was the revision higher in core, which went from 3.8 previously. That's what it was previously reported at. They revised that up to 4%. So today, the dollar index is strong. It's up 0.26% when we take a look at the DXY. And just taking a broad look at some of the various currencies and their response to it. The euro is lower by 0.3% today. The pound against the dollar, same thing, down 0.3%. The dollar is strong against the Japanese yen and the Swiss franc, and the dollar is kind of holding flat against the Canadian dollar. Meanwhile, the Australian dollar also showing a little bit of hawkish strength recently, holding up fine against the dollar, but the Kiwi dollar is lower by the largest amount of across the majors of 0.44% here this morning. So this brings into, you know, question, what's next when it comes to the Federal Reserve? And I think for that, we have to look no further than the breakout that we are seeing in the 10-year yield right now. The 10-year yield, Johnny, is actually trading at the highest levels that it has since last summer, July of 2025. We saw roughly a similar spot to where we trade currently on the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield. And this is notable because remember, between then and now, we had a lot of hopes for the Fed easing their policy rate, and globally, right? Many central banks expected to sort of cut interest rates between then and now. And while we had started the process, this situation with the Middle East has definitely upticked the inflation story once more. And yields bottomed out actually in early March of this year and have since been on the rise again. So now you have this situation in which the Federal Reserve is looking at rising inflation and is very unlikely to be able to rationalize cutting interest rates. Now, that brings into question another notable piece of information today, which is the nomination of Kevin Warsh into the next Fed chair role. Now, is he going to be able to cut interest rates and to corral the rest of his, his crew there, the committee at the Federal Reserve, to participate in cutting interest rates? Well, that is a steep order to fill, given that you now have sticky inflation, rising inflation on that side of things. And, you know, again, the yields market is telling you the story that the bond market thinks it is unlikely the Fed will cut interest rates due to a persistence in inflation. So it's a challenging dynamic, I think, personally, that when we look at this situation in yields, when you look at the dollar strengthening, firming up today, you see gold actually moving lower. Oil is persistently staying near that $100 per barrel mark. It's hard to envision a path towards easy rate cuts from here within the Federal Reserve and other central banks for that matter. So we'll keep a close eye on it, but that definitely seems to be back in center focus today and really this year is the return of inflation. And really, you have to think in context, we never made it to that 2% target that the Federal Reserve was really hoping to. We got really close to. And I do think that long-term Fed outlook is still for a return to 2% inflation, but this definitely introduces a bit of a obstacle, perhaps a red light for the time being on that inflation number coming meaningfully down from here. And the longer this situation in the Middle East, that remains the big question mark. The longer that goes on, the more stubborn this inflation problem may be. I think another thing that we could do also is to observe not just what's happening in the dollar and what's happening in the currency world as well as the rates world, but also to actually take a look at the FedWatch tool. And for listeners, I encourage you to do this on your own terms. It's a free tool that you can find online to take a look at the FedWatch tool. And it helps you to visualize. I know we're doing this over a podcast, but I'm looking visually at a map here of probabilities in regards to when the next move from the Federal Reserve is likely to come into play. And I bring this up because we, as I mentioned earlier, were expecting to see multiple rate cuts in the next, you know, year plus. But now story has changed pretty decidedly. And if we take a look at the updated FedWatch tool, the way I'm reading this is I'm going, there's all these different upcoming meeting dates, and we can take a look at where the probabilities are suggesting rates are likely to go next. Now, how does this tool work if you're pulling it up at home? Well, basically, it looks at the yield curve, it looks at the bond market, and its overall, you know, pricing to determine where probabilities are falling. And so if we take a look at things here, long story short, the next expected move from the Fed all the way out until December of 2027, that is over a year and a half from now, we see the probabilities are pretty smack dab in the middle between keeping interest rates exactly where they currently sit at 3.5 to 3.75%, the target rate from the Fed, to actually, they're pretty split between a cut from there or even, get this, a possible hike by that time. So the bond market is thinking with inflation spiking like this, the next move from the Fed is no longer a foregone conclusion that it's going to be a rate cut. In fact, now it's pretty split in regards to what the probabilities are suggesting if there will be a cut at all, and if rather there might be a hike. And it's not hard to actually envision if you see inflation, let's say, tick up from here further, let's say in the next few months, this continues to ramp higher. A rate hike very well could be the possible next move for the Federal Reserve and other central banks. We see other central banks globally. I know we're talking very much about the Fed. We see other central banks globally very much tuning in on the idea of hiking their interest rates to combat energy prices back on the rise. It feels very similar to what we saw, Johnny, in 2022 with the Russia-Ukraine situation. So inflation, a never-ending problem, it seems, in the last few years, and one that is really, in the last few decades, has only really ramped up again for big time following the pandemic, and now we are back to dealing with it once more here. Hard to believe, 6 to 7 years later, we are still battling that ongoing inflation. So Kevin Warsh has his work cut out for him, and we will, of course, be commenting the whole way through to try and gauge how things are going and where markets may be headed next.
Nick, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again very soon.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse Podcast by Oanda.